Well, there was a time known as the Philadelphia Church period. During that day, God's great missionaries, God's men and women, carried the authorized King James Bible to all the world and preached and proclaimed the gospel to the precious saving of millions and millions of eternal souls brought into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in response to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the great missionary heroes during that time was a man by the name of Adoniram Judson. And on the broadcast today, we want to look at this great hero of the faith, give just the briefest of summaries of his life. Many wonderful books in my library, been many great volumes written about this man, really one of the true pioneers. I suppose Judson, along with William Carey, stand as two of the great pioneers of missionary work, a work which had languished and a work which had been all but forgotten in the era of Calvinistic theology. When men were deceived by the devil into thinking there was nothing for man to do and no gospel to be preached because some eternal decree had determined the outcome of every soul's mortal existence and had locked in each and every one to their eternal destiny. And then when men began to turn back to the Bible during that post-Reformation time and began to realize that the Lord indeed had meant what he said when he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, all sinners, for God is not willing that any should perish, and that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. And these men began to take the word of God to the far corners of the globe and preach the precious word of God, and souls were saved. And one of those great pioneers was Adoniram Judson. Judson was the eldest son of Adoniram and Abigail Judson. He was born in Malden, Massachusetts, August 9, 1788. In the 16th year of his age, he was sufficiently advanced in his studies, and he entered the sophomore class in Brown University. I didn't know if you knew this or not, but the Ivy League schools and colleges, including Brown, Harvard, and Yale, were founded for the training of missionaries and preachers to prepare young men to carry the Word of God to those that had not yet received the truth. So Judson enrolled in Brown University. He became a member of the institution on August 17, 1804. 3 years later, in 1807, he graduated with the highest honors of his class. At the time of leaving college, he was inclined to be skeptical in his religious opinions. But the sudden death of a classmate, under circumstances most interesting, was the means of arresting his thoughts and putting him upon a course of serious examination as he began to seek out the claims of the gospel and their personal claims upon his own life and soul. For the purpose of pursuing his inquiries, he was admitted as a special student into the Andover Theological Institution. He soon became a hopeful Christian. He came to understand that Jesus Christ had died for his sins. He came to understand that there was no other hope of eternal life but by faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And rather than die in torment and terror, as his good friend before him had done, he purposed in his heart to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that he did. He was then received into the fellowship of the Third Congregational Church in Plymouth, Massachusetts, of which his father was the pastor, on the 28th of May, 1809. Now I want you to notice and understand, my friends, that just because your father is a minister does not mean that you are a Christian. That just because a family member knows and serves the Lord does not mean that you are fit for heaven. Each and every one must have his own personal born-again experience, his own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Judson's father was indeed a preacher of the gospel, but Judson had to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ for himself and lay claim to the promises of God's word for his very own soul's satisfaction. Regarding himself now as not his own but the Lord's, which every saved person should think that way, he began to seek for light upon the pathway of his future career. The result of his prayerful deliberation was the determination reached in February of 1810 to consecrate himself to the work of foreign missions. Now, as best we can tell, Judson was saved sometime in May of 1809. We know this because once a person is saved and born again, they always join themselves with a Bible-believing local church and become active in the work of that local church. And Judson made such a step on the 28th of May in 1809. This means that in less than a year, this man had prayed, fasted, searched the pages of the Scripture, sought the face of the Lord, and found God's purpose, God's calling for his life, and devoted himself to the work of foreign missions. In the seminary, Judson found other young men of kindred spirit. They joined with him in urging upon the Christian churches the claims of the heathen. The zeal and earnestness of these students gave power to the spirit of missions, which had already been aroused in the hearts of Christians. That honored society, the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions, was formed on June 28, 1810. Just a little more than a month earlier, May 17, Judson had been licensed to preach by the Orange Association of Congregationalist Ministers, and this took place in Vermont. Things are moving rather quickly in the young man's life. He's saved in May of 1809, becomes a member of a local church in May of 1809. He surrenders to follow the Lord. The Lord's call to the mission field in February of 1810. He forms a missionary society with a group of praying friends in June of 1810. And then in the same year, September 24th, he graduated at Andover, having been ordained into the ministry on the 17th of May in that same year. No point in waiting around. If you get saved, get busy for God. No sense in dragging your feet. If you've been born again, let's move, let's go. On Passover night, the blood was applied to the doorpost. The Lord came through and smote the firstborn in all the land of Egypt, and now it was time to leave. They didn't sit around and have a farewell dinner. They didn't sit around talking about the good times they'd had while they were there. They didn't sit around and talk about what they might do someday in the future if they ever got to the promised land. No, their staff was in their hand, their shoes were on their feet, their bags were packed, they were ready to go. And no sooner had the Lord opened the door for them to leave Egypt than they moved out. Now, my friends, the same ought to be true for everyone that gets saved and born again in this New Testament day, washed in the precious blood of God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to move out, leave that old world behind, and get busy serving the Lord. No time to waste. Time is now fleeting and deathbeds are coming, and it's time to get moving. Soon after his graduation, Judson was sent to England by the American Board to confer with the London Missionary Society on the matter of combining the efforts of the two societies in the work of carrying the gospel to the heathen. Judson embarked on January 1st, 1811, in the ship called the Packet, P-A-C-K-E-T. This vessel had not long been at sea when she was captured by a French pirate. His name was Le Invincible Napoleon. Interesting name. He carried the ship to Bayonne in France, where Judson was immured in a dismal dungeon. Now, this is most instructive to the Christian. How many times in the Word of God do we find that someone surrenders themselves to the service of the Lord? Someone makes some great sacrifice to follow the Lord? Someone yields himself in some way to a deeper relationship with the Lord? And instead of blessing, instead of a wonderful outpouring of God's gifts, it seems many times that there is a great wave of trouble or difficulty or persecution. We ought to recognize this and realize this. Strengthen our souls against that day. Abram left family and homeland as God had directed him to do, and traveled into the land of promise. And when he got there, there was a famine in the land. Later, Abram built an altar of sacrifice and offered a great offering unto the Lord. And instead of the blessing of God showing up, vultures came and black darkness came and horror and fear came upon Abram. And so many times this is the case, my friend, in your Christian life. You surrender to some leading of God, you yield yourself to some purpose of God in your life, and that does not guarantee instantaneous or immediate blessing. It may just mean more trouble. Study the life of the Apostle Paul, and you'll see this to be very true. Anyway, he finds himself in this dungeon, from which after a short time he was released, And after various adventures, which make most interesting reading, but we don't have time for on this brief program, he reached England, presented his credentials, and was cordially received by the Christian friends to whom he had been commended. He and his fellow students, their names were Newell, Knott, N-O-T-T, and Hall. These four were appointed by the London Missionary Society as missionaries in India, with the expectation that their support would be provided for by the Friends of the Missions in America. The object for which he was sent to England having been accomplished, Mr. Judson returned to the United States. The board, after much consideration and mature deliberation, came to the conclusion that the wiser course to pursue was to enter upon the work of missions independently of any other organization, and they accepted as their missionaries the four young men and pledged themselves to see that they were supported in the undertaking upon which they had embarked. How noble when God's people, not all of them missionaries, not all of them going to the foreign field, how noble when those who have their lot in life to stay by the stuff are willing to give of that substance and of that means to enable others to carry out the overseas work of the gospel. It's one body, one great body, this New Testament church. Jesus Christ is the head, and he's placed every member in the body as it has pleased him. Not every member in the same place, not every member with the same gift, not every member with the same calling or talent, but every member working and serving together so that the work of the gospel might be carried out in the fullest possible manner. Now, Mr. Judson, with his wife, the former Anne Hasseltine, and Mr. Knott, Newell, and Hall, and a fifth fellow now by the name of Rice, they sailed on February 19, 1812 from Salem, Massachusetts, and reached Calcutta the 17th of the following June. That's a long trip, you know that? That's about 16 months of sea voyage. During that trip, Mr. Judson's views on the mode and subjects of baptism underwent a change. See, he was a Congregationalist, and as with all the groups that came out of the Reformation, they were Reformed Roman Catholics. I'm not saying they weren't all saved, but you'd be making a terrible mistake to say they were all saved. And every one of these Reformed groups had the utmost difficulty. In fact, none of them ever was able to shake off the false doctrine of infant baptism and baby sprinkling. And as Judson studied the pages of the Holy Bible during the 16 months he traveled on board that ship, he came to realize there was no such thing in all the Word of God as infant baptism. And there was no such thing in all the Word of God as sprinkling for baptism. And Judson came to understand that scriptural baptism was the immersion of a believer. And so when they reached Serampore, Judson was baptized by William Ward on September 6, 1812. Now, what happened when Judson followed the Word of God and submitted the scriptural baptism? The American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions cut him off. They said, "We'll support you. We'll send you overseas to preach the gospel of saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." And then when he got his doctrine on water baptism right, these men that had promised to support him cut him off. So here he is with his wife in India and no support. This led to the formation of the Baptist Triennial Convention on the 18th of May, 1814, which was almost 2 years after Judson got to India and had lost his support. But under their patronage, Mr. Judson and his Baptist associates were taken. After experiencing months of hardship on account of the hostility of the East India Company, who opposed the establishment of his mission in India because they were afraid the gospel would interfere with their crooked business practices, Mr. Judson decided to commence his work among the Burmese. On the 14th of July, 1813, he reached Rangoon and began at once the study of the language. It was a formidable task and taxed all his powers to accomplish it. At nearly the end of 5 years' residence in Rangoon, a Rayat, R-A-Y-A-T, was built and opened with appropriate religious services. and Mr. Judson made this place his religious headquarters. Inquirers began to visit him. He had the satisfaction of seeing his first convert to the Christian faith on 27th of June, 1819, almost 1 year after he reached Burma. This was a man by the name of Mung Nau, M-O-U-N-G-N-A-U. No sooner, however, did there appear some signs of success than a spirit of opposition began to be awakened. It never fails. It never fails. When God begins to move, the devil always begins his counter moves. We need to understand that, know that, prepare for that. Mr. Judson had reason to fear that his work would be stopped by the arm of the civil power. With the hope of securing toleration, he went to Ava with Mr. Coleman and sought permission to preach the new faith in Burma. But the king would not grant the request, and they returned to Rangoon and continued the prosecution of their mission work regardless of the opposition which had been awakened. Mr. Judson devoted himself especially to the translation of the scriptures and the preparation of religious tracts to be circulated among the people. He knew and understood that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he may be driven from the country, he may lose his life, but if he could get the scriptures into the hands of the people in their language, then the work of the gospel could carry on even if the missionaries were executed or deported. We now come to one of the most interesting periods in the life of Adoniram Judson. Dr. Price, who had arrived at Rangoon in December 1821, was summoned to the court of the king in his capacity as a physician, and it was necessary that Judson should accompany him. His reception was favorable, and he had more than one opportunity to proclaim the gospel to the members of the royal family. Reading Judson's life in detail is almost like reading many of the events that took place in the life of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Out of hardship and difficulty always came greater opportunities to witness, and oftentimes to those of the opposition. The prospect for usefulness seemed so bright that Judson returned to Rangoon for his wife and brought her back to Ava. There he began his missionary work, encouraged by the hope of greater success in his labors. But this hope was destined soon to meet with utter disappointment. War broke out between England and Burma. Rangoon fell into the hands of the British on May 23, 1824, and the tidings of its capture reached the capital 2 weeks after. The jealous Burman officers, regarding Dr. Price and Mr. Judson as spies, caused them to be arrested and thrown into a loathsome jail, where for 9 months they were kept in the closest and most barbarous confinement. You have never read about prison suffering so great as that endured by Adoniram Judson. In all the missionary stories I have read, in all the church histories I've read, I have not read of a more horrid jailhouse condition than that through which Judson passed for these 9 months. You just have to read about it. I just urge you to read what this man went through and suffered for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were then sent to a wretched place called Ung Pen La, where they were ordered to be put to death. The sentence, however, was never executed. With the continued success of the English arms, the fears of the king and his court became so aroused that negotiations were entered into, in which Adoniram Judson took a prominent part. And as one of the results, he obtained his freedom. As soon as it was possible, he left Ava and once more returned to Rangoon, and soon removed with his family to Amherst in Massachusetts on October 24, 1826. Judson left from there for Maulmain on November 14, 1827, and entered once more upon his missionary work, which he carried on in Maulmain and Prome and Rangoon and other localities, and he became especially interested in the conversion of the Karens. On April 10, 1834, he married again, his wife having died, this time to the former Sarah Boardman. Now, for many years, Judson devoted part of his time to the translation of scriptures into the Burmese language. This work, as you recall, was begun as early as 1821, possibly 1820 or 18, 19, some would even say, but it was completed. The work was completed in January of 1834. He finished a translation of the scriptures into the Burmese language. He compiled a Burmese dictionary to teach the people how to read and teach them their language. And on the last day of January 1834, the closing page of the now completely translated Bible was written by Adoniram Judson. Many years were given to careful revision of this work. In its completed state, it is pronounced by competent judges to be perfect. For several years, Dr. Judson kept up his missionary labors, the blessing of God accompanying him in his toil. The failing health of Mrs. Judson forced him in 1845 to leave Burma for America. She died at St. Helena, where she was buried. Dr. Judson continued his voyage. He reached Boston in the month of October. During his stay in the United States, he was everywhere the recipient of the kindest attentions. And when after a few months of residence in this country, he returned to his Oriental home with a third wife who was to share his fortunes, the prayers of thousands of Christian hearts followed him. This quotation from the Baptist Encyclopedia really sums it up. It was no sectarian adulation offered to a distinguished name, but rather the natural homage which Christian civilization pays to the cause of Christian philanthropy, the instinctive admiration of an intelligent and religious people for the character of one who has proved himself a great benefactor of mankind. After this visit, Judson to his native land, a few more years were allotted him to render service to the cause to which he had given so large a part of his life. He hoped to live long enough to complete the Burmese dictionary and was busily engaged in its preparation when he was attacked by the fever, a Burmese-type fever, which completely prostrated him. A sea voyage was recommended for the restoration of his health. The vessel sailed on April 8th, and 4 days later he died, and his body was committed to the sea. His soul departed to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom he had labored and whom he had served for so many years, so wonderfully and so faithfully. If William Carey was the apostle, the Latter-day Apostle to India, Adoniram Judson was surely God's Latter-day Apostle to the Burmese people. A life of service lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, not without its sorrows, imprisonment twice, once under such horrid death of two dear devoted wives, the sufferings and trials through which he passed. You just have to read about them in detail to even begin to grasp their scope and their difficulty. But on and on he labored for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many souls are in heaven today? How many souls will praise Jesus Christ around his throne for all eternity? Because of the sacrificial labors of Adoniram Judson, none but the Lord himself can tell. But my friend, just think of it. What can be done with one life, just one life yielded to Jesus Christ? How about you? Will you surrender yourself? Will you give yourself to God to become a hero of the Christian faith? I trust, I hope, I pray that God will raise up from this listening audience someone that will serve him on a foreign field for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. This is the Preaching of the Cross radio broadcast. If you'd like a copy of today's program or a catalog listing all our available materials, you may have such by writing to 199 Damascus Road. 199 Damascus Road. DeLand, just like it sounds, D-E-L-A-N-D, DeLand, Florida. The zip code number is 32724. That's 32724, United States of America.